Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's been good for me to be here for a message this morning. I struggled a little bit to know what to preach on. Thanksgiving this coming week. Do we preach about Thanksgiving this Sunday or next Sunday? And well, I felt led, God spoke to me to preach on Thanksgiving. That's the title of my message. In everything, give thanks. And I guess we are to be thankful every day, not just during Thanksgiving week, but every day of our lives. You can turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Familiar passage. This is Paul speaking, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Can we do that? Is that possible? Think about Paul's life. First of all, when someone gives you advice or has something to tell you how to do something, you usually expect them to be able to do it well themselves. For example, you want to lose weight. You usually don't go for advice to some overweight, unhealthy person. You go to someone that has learned how to do it, is healthy and in shape themselves, and practice what you preach. So Paul is no exception to that. He was a man that learned how to be thankful. He learned how to be happy and content. In all of life's ups and downs, he was a man that said, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Think about Paul's life. He was beaten. He was put in prison. He was in shipwreck. He was hungry and cold. He had pain and heartache. And yet he learned to be content, to be thankful, no matter what circumstances he was in. And I think we should sit up and pay attention to what Paul has here because of his experience and what he has learned. And we can learn from him. Paul was not Superman. He had infirmities. He had weakness. He struggled like we do. But did you notice where his strength came from? It says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He learned where his strength came from. He had a choice to follow Christ. And I believe he learned it from Jesus Christ himself. Think about Jesus was also a person who was thankful. Many, many scriptures we could read about Jesus blessing, thanking God. And one that I found that I thought was noteworthy, you turn to Matthew 26. Right before Jesus was crucified, the Last Supper, Matthew 26, verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink, ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" He thanked God for the cup he was about to drink. Cup of suffering. Many people that have learned to be thankful in the midst of hardship. Thought about Corrie ten Boom. in the book, The Hiding Place. Just read a little section out of there. Her and her sister Betsy were stuck in the Nazi concentration camp. Everything taken from them, and now living in one of the most horrific, evil places in history, their chance of survival was slim. The massive bunkhouse room where they were kept was full of other prisoners. Straw-covered beds that reeked of urine and mold and infested with fleas. How were they going to make it? Betsy had the answer. Something she remembered from a Bible verse they had read that morning. She knew the only way they could make it was to give thanks for everything about their new lives. What in the world was there to be thankful for? Corey asked, quite understandably. That we are able to stay together here in this concentration camp, Betsy replied. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus, for letting us stay together, Corey responded. That we were able to smuggle the Bible that's in your hands. And since we're packed so tight in this room, so many women will be able to hear us read it. Betsy looked at Corey to join in giving thanks. And thank you, God, for the fleas, Betsy responded. The fleas? This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me thankful for the fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances, Betsy quoted. It doesn't just say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of the place that God has put us in. Corey was sure this time Betsy had lost her mind. Well, for weeks and months, they worked and survived in a place that was just short of hell itself. Yet an amazing thing began to happen. Quite timidly at nights, while soup was being served, Corey and Betsy started reading from their Bible aloud in the back of the massive dormitory room as women clamored around to listen. They would read the Dutch text and then translate it to German, then listen as the women repeated the words back through the crowd in French, Russian, Polish, and Czech. It was ripples of hope and light being spoken in a place of darkness. With guards everywhere, Corey and Betsy feared of being discovered and the horrific fate that would await them if they did. Yet night after night, they continued. The gatherings became so big that Corey and Betsy held two church services a night in the dormitory. Women were being filled with courage and strength to face what awaited them the next day. How many lives were Corey and Betsy saving? Every night they feared a guard would discover them, yet it was like God put a protective force field around them. Then one day, Betsy figured out what was God's protective force all along. She figured out what allowed them to carry out their illegal act of reading the Bible and giving hope every night to the women who were in desperate need. What was the protective force? The infestation of fleas. No guard ever wanted to step in their room lest they get fleas themselves. And as Betsy shared the news with Corey, she couldn't help but shine a smile of "I told you so" to her sister. There was a reason to be thankful for fleas, and it's a powerful story. Power of thankfulness. Do we have any reason to be complaining, to be ungrateful in our lives? First of all, I'd like to look at the sin of ingratitude. Did you know that unthankfulness is a sin? You can turn to Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I'll stop there. It says here that they knew God, but they did not glorify God, neither were thankful. And God calls them foolish. And their hearts were darkened. I think that's what the sin of ingratitude does. It makes us fools, and it darkens our hearts. Thinking of themselves more than God, and that's selfishness. And I believe that being unthankful is the cornerstone of many sins, many other sins, and it leads to a lot of other sins. You can read more about that in the following verses here. It can lead to a full-on rebellion against God himself. Unthankfulness is a sin. Ingratitude is a sign that we are forgetful. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We have a tendency to forget. Verse 18. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. We have a tendency to forget, and it takes effort to remember. We are human. Our minds and our memory are failing, and it's hard for us to remember. But we can usually remember what's important to us. Let's not forget the benefits of the Lord. Is that important to us? It should be. We have much to be thankful for. Not forget the benefits and commandments of the Lord. Let's thank him for it. Along with forgetfulness is a failure to recognize the true source of our blessings. Sometimes we can too easily take credit to ourselves for our accomplishments, our abilities. Turn to Deuteronomy 8. Forgetting to recognize the true source of our blessings. Deuteronomy 8, I think I'll read verse 6 to 20. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and thy might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Does this land sound like our land today? No lack. We have much things, but yet are we forgetting who gave us these things? Are we remembering the source of our blessings? Who is it that gives us power? Our very next breath is a gift from our Lord, and we do well to thank him every day of our life. Every day for life. He's the source of all we can do. Without him, we can do nothing. And I believe unthankfulness leads to idolatry, to serving ourselves, to worship of our things. Let's remember where our blessings come from. Also, I believe when we are not thankful to God, we will also not be grateful for key people that God has put into our lives. Not being thankful for people that God has put into our lives leads to negative. It leads us to focus on the negative about people. And pretty soon we can start talking negatively about them and everything they do. Gossip. Negative talk about someone does no good. It hurts the person you're talking about. It discourages or stirs up the person you're talking with. And it only reveals an ungrateful heart and pride within yourself. How is it in your home? Parents, are you nurturing a spirit of gratefulness or ungratefulness in your talk about others with your family? You know, they're learning from you. What are they learning from you? Gratefulness or ungratefulness? Children, how do you talk about others? Is it respectful and grateful? Try this. I think this is a good exercise for each one of us. Children, you as well. Try complimenting someone this week and tell them you are thankful for them. Try it with your siblings. Adults, try it with each other. Compliment and thank them. Tell them you are thankful for them. If we keep doing that, I believe that we will start looking for things to compliment each other on, to appreciate instead of complain. It will change our attitude, change our negative focus into a positive. So ingratitude is a sin, and God wants us to be a thankful people. What should we thank him for? Well, that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, in everything, give thanks. And I will admit that some days it is hard to give thanks for everything. Try to be happy. Discouragement is real. Bank accounts do run dry, at least mine does. And health problems are overwhelming. Children are naughty and needy. Equipment breaks down. Transmissions give out. And the list goes on. Terminal illnesses. Loved ones die. How can I be thankful when I'm feeling down? When I'm discouraged, when I'm in sorrow and grief? Can we be thankful? It's a hard question. turn to Psalm 42. David knew what discouragement was. He knew what being down in the depths of despair felt like. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. David knew what discouragement was, but I like where he always came out in the end. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. He knew the source of his help. He knew where to go for help. And he knew he needed not to stay in that state of down and out, being cast down. And I believe the same is true for us. Yes, we will have times of feeling down, feeling discouraged, but we need not stay there. We need to stay grounded in the hope that God can give us. And I believe praise and thanksgiving will come. Or maybe if we don't feel like being thankful, maybe we should just try to do it anyway. We may not feel like smiling while we say it, but I believe that thank yous offered in the depths of despair are a treasure to God. Why? I believe it's because it's a thankful heart is a token of trust that you're putting in God, especially when you don't feel like it. God counts it as a treasure to him when you trust and when you're thankful. Remember, God's perspective is larger than the one we can see. The picture's bigger than what we can see. We don't know all the reasons why we are going through what we do, but God does. You may not have to thank him for the specific difficulty you're experiencing, but try to find something to be thankful for, to thank him for. Psalm 107, 1 and 2 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I like that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have a reason to be thankful. Here are some items worthy of thanksgiving. I have a number of them, number of verses. I may ask for some help in reading these. The first one I have is temporal things. And someone read Acts 14, 17, maybe a volunteer. Okay. And Psalm 104, 10 to 15. Gerald? Go ahead when you have that. Acts 14, 17. So things we can be thankful for.
Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season to fill our hearts with food and gladness.
Okay, it's good to thank God for temporal blessings. He gives us rain from heaven. He makes our crops and gardens grow. Nature, sunsets, many things we can be thankful for. Psalm 104, 10 to 15. God gives us much. He created the earth, causes everything to grow. The herbs of the field for the service of man, I believe it said. We have much in the temple, blessings to be thankful for. Food in the freezer, houses to live in, clothes to wear, jobs, health, many things. Next one I have is spiritual things. Salvation, first of all. What greater gift do we have than God sending his son to die on the cross for our sin? Someone read Colossians 1, 9 to 14. And Philippians 1, 3 to 7. Okay. Spiritual things. Colossians 1, 9 to 14.
For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, and fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and all patience and all suffering and joyfulness.
All right, thank you. He redeemed us from all iniquity, and it says to give thanks for that. What a blessing we have. Philippians 1, 3 to 7. Okay, thank you. Spiritual blessings. I lost my thought. There's a verse in there. He that began a good work in you will continue to the end. It's a gift we can be thankful for. What else is worthy of our thanksgiving? Distressing things. Turn to 1 Peter 4, 12 to 19. First Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Glorify God for suffering. Let's remember that trials, sufferings are part of being a Christian, part of being partaking in Christ's sufferings. Trials and temptations make us stronger. We may not feel that way in the middle of it, but they do. What else is worthy of our thanksgiving? Heavenly riches. Someone read 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4. Carl, you want to read that? 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4. Okay, we have something to look forward to, heavenly riches. Hope in heaven give us a reason to take another step today. Hope in heaven give us another reason to take another step today. Heavenly fellowship, another thing we can be thankful for. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. Someone want to read that? Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. And Ephesians 2, 4 to 7. All right. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24, whenever you're ready. Okay, talked about an innumerable company of angels. We are not alone. God has given us fellowship. Okay, Ephesians 2, 4 to 7. Okay, he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places. We have heavenly fellowship one with another. And what a blessing it is to not be alone in our Christian walk. Okay, spiritual knowledge is another thing we can be thankful for. Someone want to read Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. And 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. Okay. Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. Spiritual knowledge is what we're thinking about. That we may know him. What a blessing to know Christ. Something we can be thankful for. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12.
Blessed save the spirit of man which is in him. Neither show the things of God, but the man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
And that we may know things freely given to God, freely given to us by God. Spiritual knowledge, learning and understanding God and His will for our lives. It's a blessing that we can be thankful for. Okay, there are many, many other things we could have been listed, could have been shared. Those were a couple. Now I'd like to look at living our thanks. How do we live our thanks? How can we show our gratitude to God and to others? I believe the first way I have is in word. Psalm 26, 7. Psalm 26, 7 says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I believe the first way God wants us to show our gratitude is by telling, by using our voice in thanksgiving, saying it out loud to ourselves and to others, praising God in worship, personal and at church. God wants us to use our voice. God wants to hear you sing. Singing helps you, helps lift your heart, your mind to God. Pray is a way we can offer thanksgiving with our words. Next one I have is in obedience, John 14, 15. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is proof that we mean what we say. You live out your words by living in obedience to the word, believing and trusting in God for your life. What more can you give to God than an obedient heart? That's the greatest gift we can give to Him, giving Him our heart in obedience, surrender. It's evidence of our love for Him. How else can we show our thanksgiving? By pleasing, doing things that are pleasing to God. 1 John 3. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Doing those things that God approves of. What are they? Many. Think of honesty. Think of loving others, purity, holiness, kindness, sharing, helping the poor, dressing modestly, being non-resistant, and more. Doing things that God approves of is a way that we can live out our thanks. Next one I have is in giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. 2 Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We have been given so much, and God desires that we would give to others. Give back to Him. Give Him your heart and life, first of all. And give Him your time. Give Him your money. Give your time to your family. Give in the offering. Lend a helping hand. Seek out ways that you can help your family and teach them how to give. Help others. Living out thanks is shown by giving what we have been given ourselves. And then next I have, we live out our thanks by evangelization, by telling others about the gift of God. Psalm 40, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. People are watching us, how we live. What are they seeing? Are they seeing God through our lives? Are they turning to him, fearing God, trusting in the Lord? And 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. God wants us to be ready to tell others about him. We have been saved from so much, and let's tell others the way, point them to Jesus. We've been given a gift. We want to share that gift with others. Tell others about him. Tell others what we've been saved from and what they can be saved from as well. Well, gratefulness is a choice that we each can make each day, no matter the circumstances. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not my brother sitting beside me, not someone else that I think needs to do it better, but you, me. It's God's will. In closing, I'd like to read a short parable, short story. Once times were tough. Two men, both farmers, were walking down a country lane and met their rabbi. "How is it for you?" the rabbi asked the first man. "Lousy," he grumbled, bemoaning his lot and lack. "Terrible, hard, awful. Not worth getting out of bed for. Life is lousy." Now, God was listening in on this conversation. "Lousy?" the Almighty thought. "You think your life is lousy now, you ungrateful man? I'll show you what lousy is." Then the rabbi turned to the second man. "And you, my friend, how are you?" "Ah, rabbi, life is good. God is so gracious, so generous. Each morning when I awaken, I'm so grateful for the gift of another day. For I know rain or shine, it will unfold in wonder and blessings too bountiful to count. Life is so good." God smiled as the second man's thanksgiving soared upwards until it became one with the harmony of the heavenly host. Then the Almighty burst out, "Good? You think your life is good now? I'll show you what good is." May we each be making the choice to be thankful no matter our circumstance, not just this Thanksgiving week, but each day of our lives. Let's kneel for prayer.